God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Dr. Bob Shattles called me and said he'd just been on a Dallas television show celebration with the Daystar Network, hosted by Marcus and Joni Lamb. And Bob said that he had recommended to them that they have me on the show. And it was shortly after that that I got a call from the Daystar Network, and we scheduled a date when I was going to be up in the area doing the Southwestern National Witness Broadcasters Convention, and we scheduled to do the show with them during that convention. Now, I arrived in the Dallas area on July the 25th, 2000, is when I went over to the studios. And when I got there, they had three young men help me get my trailer positioned and unload some of the artwork that was going to be on the sets. And after the guys helped me, I asked if I could bless them in Jesus' name, and they said yes, and I blessed them and prayed for them, and then they asked them to look at their hands, and all three of them were covered with God's golden glory dust. Then they took me into the green room where the guests wait for their time on the show, and I happened to notice as I was getting my hair fixed and getting ready and changing clothes that there was a little bit of gold dust forming on one of the cabinets. A little while later, I prayed for the two electricians that were working, and we struck up a conversation, and God put the glory dust on them after we prayed for their needs. And finally, one of the contractors there named James, he walked up to me, and he said that he was going to a mission trip in Ireland and would appreciate a prayer for him and his family. So I prayed for him, and he came back later and said that he was covered in the gold dust. And finally, at about 10:50 a.m., I was getting ready to do the show, celebration show, and I sat back in the chairs with the other audience to watch the current show that was being taped. And there was a elderly lady all dressed in pink, and she sat right straight behind me. And anyways, I introduced myself, and she asked if I was going to be on the next program, and I thought I was. And anyways, I just blessed her in Jesus' name after telling her a little bit about what God was doing in our lives with the gold dust. God just instantly covered her with hundreds of particles all over her hands and her pink outfit, and she was, I guess, looked like she was probably 85 years old. But she said that a few minutes later, she reached back over the chair, and she said to me, sir, when am I going to stop shaking? And I looked at her, and apparently she was having the Holy Spirit shakes, and I told her I didn't know when she was going to stop shaking. That was the Holy Spirit, and that was kind of up to him. But she was just a precious spirit-filled prayer warrior. The next thing that happened was the interview started live with Marcus and Joni Lamb, and I just started telling some of the stories and sharing. And as I did, I noticed that the gold dust started forming on Marcus and Joni right there as we were doing the interview live. And the segment you're about to hear now is that that first show celebration that was aired live in five or six major cities across the United States. But it came out of Dallas, Texas. And the show, again, was July 25th, 2000.
Well, hello, everybody. Come on in and join us, or maybe we should come on in. Are we coming in, or are they coming in?
We're coming in.
They're already there, aren't they?
I'm trying to keep up with you. You're moving a little fast today.
I need to get a skateboard and just go skating down through there or slide down the Banister Trail. That'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it?
That's right. Well, I tell you what, we're so glad that you tuned in today for celebration. And we have a wonderful guest. Max Greiner is here. And
yes.
He's a wonderful artist. And we finished with
and a sculptor, I think.
Yes. Which an artist, that could include being a sculptor.
Well, but not every artist is a
we'll
sculptor.
Talk about that. Okay. But anyway, and as always, there's a prayer line number on the screen. We want you to call if you have a prayer request. We want to pray for you. Here is...
Yes. Such a delight to have Max Greiner Jr. with us. He's from Kerrville, Texas. For those outside of Texas, that is a town, little town, oh, maybe about an hour away or so, I think, from San Antonio. And this man has been a blessing to the body of Christ for many years. And many ministries have been blessed by the wonderful things that he makes and creates, and then they give those to their partners and supporters. And we just appreciate that Max would take time to be with us today. So I want you to join Joni and me as we welcome from Kerrville, Texas, Max Greiner Jr. Max, welcome. I've been hearing about you for many years. When you were a little boy, did you like to draw? Did you like to create things? Did you like to work with your hands? How did all this start?
Well, with, as you know, the gifts like music and art and other things, natural gifts, God puts them in right at the start. And
amen.
So then they just kind of start showing up. And but he made me an artist from a little child, and I first realized, I guess, I was an artist when I was, you know, in those early kindergarten classes, and my horse that I was drawing in Crayola looked a little more like the other kids' horses, you know. I mean, it looked like a real horse compared to some of the others, and I started seeing, so really by the age of seven, I knew God had made me an artist. It was also the same time that I got born again, saved in the Baptist
praise
church,
God.
But I mean, it was, I pretty well knew my calling was to be an artist, and so all my life I wanted to be an artist. And as I got older, though, and started thinking about a career, my family and others encouraged me to, you know, maybe look into some kind of a career, because they didn't know any artists that were living and making a living. And so, you know, artists to starve, so I became an architect and found out they could starve too. And,
oh, nice.
You know, but it started early, and I was able to finally fulfill, you know, that dream, and what I believe is a call that's on my life.
Beautiful.
You know,
hey, do we know somebody about that age that's drawn horses?
In fact, I just told Sam to call home to make sure that Rebecca and Rachel both are watching, especially our youngest.
Right.
You know how many horses this child has drawn?
Yeah.
And so when we show this most beautiful piece of work behind us with Jesus coming back on the white horse, and I want her to be able to see that. It's so funny. We came down the steps today for celebration, and Marcus looked behind, and we had this table with these beautiful art pieces, and he was so excited. He thought, oh, I thought that Steve had gone out and gotten those for the stairs.
Oh, man, that looks great. Look at all that. I loved it.
So there you see. Isn't that beautiful? But
yes.
Tell us a little bit about these pieces, Max. I know there's a lot of story in between the time that you really felt the Lord leading you to do these specific pieces of artwork. One of the more notable pieces is the Whose Feet Will You Wash?
Yeah, Divine Servant. Yeah.
Yes.
Christ washing Peter's feet.
And I saw the life-size version of that at Living Vine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was beautiful, and I guess that, does that tour around?
Well, I have my own artist copy that I have on a trailer that I cross the country and go to churches and shows. I have that one, but in the Dallas era here, God has placed the Divine Servant at Dallas Baptist University and over at Dallas Theological Seminary. And
so is this a replica of it right there, Max?
Yeah, that's the one-third life size. Yes, that's the small one-third life size, Christ washing Peter's feet from John 13.
Yes.
And through all of this, I really, after, again, God pulled me out of the secular world of art, I believe he really wanted me to remind the body of Christ about certain aspects of the gospel that have been skipped over. You know, we kind of tend to key on the favorite parts we like and skip over the others. And one of the first word that he gave me about a piece of art was a Divine Servant, and he wanted to remind the church that that is in the Bible, John 13.
Yes.
and the washing of the feet. And so he allowed me to give a visual presentation to the world that is now being used around the world, and to focus on servanthood and humility.
Yes.
And really to prepare for the coming of Christ, we have to first understand the humility.
Okay, two practical questions that I know I'd like to know the answers to, and probably some of our viewers too. Number one is, how long did it take to make the life-size version of that? And number two, what is the process? Do you start out with clay? And I mean, how do you get it to the finished product?
Well, to answer the question about how long, it depends on if you obey God or disobey God. I was in the secular world. Even though I was born again, I was doing my secular artwork, and God told me to do the Divine Servant, and that still small voice, and I heard it, and I said, okay, God, but when I finish these other things I'm doing, and you don't put God on hold. A lot of us try, but that's not a good deal. But anyway, so I disobeyed for a couple of years. In my situation, we had, economy crashed in Texas. 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt during the oil crash. My wife got a life-threatening illness. And, I mean, everything was coming down. And finally, finally, I said, I give up. Okay, Lord, he was. And so, if you obey, it goes much faster. I did the small sculpture first, the 1/6 life size that's about this big, and then did the big one, and it took a couple of years to do it.
Wow.
And the way that my Christian work comes is different than the way I did my secular art. I mean, I did wildlife, nature, painting, sculpture, jewelry, and you work up ideas the creative way like all artists throughout history have done. But with the work that God's called me to do, it's come, each one's come supernaturally. And in the case of the Divine Servant, it was literally a spoken word into my mind. Mm-hmm. And so after I got with the program and agreed to obey, then I went into the process, and I did first a real rough clay, and then a small little thing as a study. Then I did a finished drawing. Then I did a small sculpture that was the finished piece. And then it was the model for the maquette for the bigger version. Then I did the big life-size piece. And all that took several years to do.
Wow.
But because it's God's word, I mean, each size, no matter whether it's the small or the big, carries the power of God and the message of God.
Yes.
And so that's been the exciting part about letting God commission me rather than men. And so I really don't seek my commissions from men anymore. I seek them from God.
Praise
and so they've
God.
Come. And there's a story with each one of them that's a neat deal, how God supernaturally commissioned it, and all the way up to this latest one with a vision and they gave me.
Talking about the feet washing, that's something that I grew up doing in our church.
Oh, really?
Yes, and...
it's rare today.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it is very rare today.
Church?
And I can remember, this was in South Carolina, the Church of God, mm-hmm. Cleveland, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Denomination. And this is something I can remember my dad talking about, that some of the greatest times of ministry took place when the women would go to one room and the men would go to another room. And they would wash feet. And to me, it was I grew up knowing this to be something that was very scriptural, but there are so many churches today that kids don't even know anything about it. You never see it done. But
some people don't know it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Max, what is feet washing about for those that don't understand it?
Yeah, well, again, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we tend to skip over, but But, you know, Jesus, right before he went to the cross, there was a few things that he did that night in the upper room. And one of them, in addition to the Lord's Supper, and introduced that to the world, was the foot washing. And it was really to teach us all about serving each other and about being a humble servant and to put others before yourself. And so what by actually doing it, it really reminds you how significant it is. And it's really that's bottom line of Christianity. I mean, if somebody doesn't understand John 13, then they're not a very mature Christian yet, because like, you know, your piece just said, what you do for these least of these my brothers, you do for me. It was a real big deal to Christ to get across that point on the night before the crucifixion to these guys, that I want you to go out and help and serve and be humble and serve. And he gave us the most incredible example of humility that the world has ever seen. And what has happened since I started doing the sculpture, and it's now images and the sculptures have been around the world, is churches, even ones traditionally that don't wash feet at all, are now doing it, and praise they're now God. Talking about it, and they're now doing sermons about it. You know, right. So it's kind of just a reminder, a prompt. Some people can understand things visually quicker.
That's right.
You know, than they can with words and or reading, and so that's kind of what the role God, I think, has placed me in the body, is to create visual pictures of important parts of the gospel that he wants to get across to the body right now.
Okay, we have a role in some of the work of Max Griner Jr. So stay tuned. We'll be right back, and we'll get Max to do a voiceover and tell us what we're seeing. Watch this.
This is the Great Commission sculpture. That's the big, large size monument size. It's out on my trailer.
How big is that?
Well, the globe is 4 foot across, 48 inches across. And then you're looking right there at the coming king, the latest sculpture I've done, Christ on the white horse. You're seeing the shofar, ram's horn, and the
awesome.
White stallion. And that's the half-life size. That's a 9-foot piece. I'm also just finished an 18-foot full-life size. It's almost 3 stories tall.
Wow.
And then here's the life size of divine servant Christ washing Peter's feet, and that's Peter's old foot right there.
Is that outside? Right?
Yeah, that's outside.
Oh,
right.
I'm going outside to see him. Isn't
hey, that's
right
in our parking lot, isn't it?
Yeah, right at the moment, it sure is.
Max, we appreciate you bringing us the day started.
Yeah, that's right. And then you can see the crown and the sword, and on the back of the robe right there, you can see in Hebrew it says Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Awesome.
And so, as it says in the scripture in Revelation 19:11, it talks about it being on the robe and on his thigh. And so it's Christ jumping out of the cloud, and there's the 1/3 life size next to the half life size piece. both of those are out there right now.
Well, and you see the sword now. Remember the significance of that body-length sword that Christ will wield when he comes back. And that's awesome. I'll tell you.
Wow.
So out of all of those, can you have a favorite? Or
no, really, I can. I mean, you know,
those are like your children.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but what happens? He's been giving them to me one at a time, and then my whole life tends to focus around what he's giving me, you know, at that moment, and I do what he tells me to do, and it's a while, and then he speaks the next one, or have a vision, or have some other kind of confirmation, and that's what he's got me on. And right now, this for the last year and a half, I've been working on the coming king, Christ on the white horse, turning in glory.
Mm.
And I believe that is the message that he wants me to get across to the body of Christ right now.
Yes. And that's many artists and sculptors have models for their work. We saw Christ and we saw that horse. Were there any models for either one of those, or did that just out of your imagination?
Yes, the answer, that's actually yes to both questions. God gave me, and then again, different ways that he gives these commissions, but sometimes it's a vision, sometimes it's a word, it's other things. And I do the research in the Bible, but he pretty well gives me a picture in my mind's eye of what he wants, and then I've learned to research everything. So I look up all the scriptural stuff in the Bible and get people to help me, and then I get a model to pose for the figures. And in the case of Christ, I've used a young man that was about the age of Christ, a friend of mine, Wayne Rux, a dentist in Kerrville, Texas, a good Christian friend of mine. And so he has posed as the figure of Christ for me. But as far as the face goes, I've really trusted the Lord to do that. And my wife found in some old reference books the oldest known portraits of Christ that were done by first century artists that were drawn into the catacombs of Rome. And it showed him with a thin beard and high cheekbones and hair parted in the middle. And so from that rough sketch and then asking the Holy Spirit just to guide me, I've created, the face on my Christ that I've used repeatedly through the different sculptures that he's had me do.
Neat.
Now, there is an event that happened recently while you were doing this latest sculpture with Jesus coming back on the white horse. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
There actually have been a whole lot of events, and they've continued up until the last few minutes before I walked on the set.
They keep happening, huh?
They keep happening. But if you're talking about the golden dust,
yes.
Okay. Again, there's so many things. We need about a 12-hour show here.
Right. Now, before, let's preface this by saying that a little bit of your attitude upon hearing about this phenomena, because that kind of gives more credence to your testimony.
I'm a Texas Aggie architect, Eagle Scout, fourth generation Southern Baptist in my background, and
you're conservative and practical.
Yes. But I learned here about 1976, our God is a miracle working God, and that was a news flash back there to me then. But what has happened? As he's continued to do neat things in our lives, after he commissioned me to do this sculpture of Christ on the white horse, the coming king, with a vision, gold dust started forming in my studio about a year and a half ago, March of 1999, in the little prayer closet bathroom, which is in my studio, which I haven't finished, and gold started going up the walls and the doors and the counter and floor, and it started getting on my wife and my daughter and on me. And my wife and my daughter, pretty well every day, anytime you turn their hands over, look at their clothes or their skin, they've got this gold dust on them. And it gets on me some, too. But the remarkable thing about the way God's been doing this with us is he puts it on other people that we share with about Christ. And so, as a matter of fact, I've already started noticing it's forming on you two guys. I don't know if you used glitter makeup this morning, Marcus, but I saw a little bit start to form on your face, and there's one on your coat, but it starts coming up, and it's been
doing that for years. Did this ever happen to you before?
No.
Now, when this first started happening, what did you think? I mean,
matter of fact, my Methodist friend Jim Beard from College Station had called up, and we were in some warfare in Kerrville, and I was praying in the dark in my prayer language, and because I didn't know what to do in English. I had to run out of words. And then he calls up from College Station. And he said, Max, what's going on? God said to call you. You got a problem? And I said, yeah, you need to pray for us. And come to Kerrville. And he said, okay, I'll be there in the morning. And God's kind of used him as a mentor in our life to minister to my wife and I. And anyways, as he's about to hang up the phone, he said, oh, let me tell you about what happened to my wife, Darlene. She was at a conference with this Pentecostal lady who I learned was Ruth Ward Heflin. I didn't know at the time, in Houston, and the gold started covering all the audience.
In Houston?
Yeah. And so
Ruth Ward Heflin.
Yeah, and I said to my Methodist friend on the phone, I said, come on now, Jim, I've heard lots of these stories, but this is really hard to believe. And he said, yeah, I know. I told Darlene the same thing, and she opened her Bible, and the pages were covered in gold where she was sitting, and then she showed me her sweater. And I said, well, Jim, that's great that you got gold in College Station, but we got demons in Kerrville, and you need to come on up here and pray for us. But he came the next morning, and before he got there, that's when the gold started forming in the bathroom. And then as he prayed for my wife, Sherry, gold started forming around her in a circle. And it's continued every day. It's going up the different walls. It's on, occasionally gets on the dog. It's people that sit next to us at restaurants. It's probably already been about 12 people here in your audience, the studio, and the cameraman that God's already done. It's this last day sign and wonder is all I know. And I'm using it in evangelism. Your audience probably would be interested to know exactly what it is, because I document everything.
Yes.
I have a prayer journal I've kept since 1989, and I truly try to analyze and be sure what we're saying is God is really God, because there's a lot of fakes and fraud and all that kind of stuff out there. But I did have it scientifically tested at Texas A&M University. And
did you tell them what they were testing?
No.
Okay, so you just brought the substance.
I sent it to them. Yeah, and I told them, look, I've got a substance. I think it may be gold. I don't know what it is. Can you analyze it? Tell me what it is. The head of the Department of Geology and Geophysics at Texas A&M tested it. He was the one that was involved with another doctor, and they did not, of course, know where I got it. They were not believers, and they sent back the test and pictures from an electron microscope. And what Texas A&M University, basically what the test said was that he was not able to class it as a metal that they knew, did not line up on their charts in the way that they do it. And also, this metal coating, thin coating, was around a substance he called plastic. And I asked him on the phone, I said, why do you call it plastic, this substance? He says, well, we're not sure what it is, but we see a molecular structure that is organic and oil-based. Well, to those of us that are Christians, oil is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and so that wasn't a problem to me. But a scientist that doesn't believe in God can't say, hey, that's oil, the Holy Spirit. He's got to look at the molecular structure and say, oh, that's oil, it's got to be plastic. The other thing that I noticed, which to my knowledge, Bob Shadows and Ruth had not really noticed, but most of the little tiny particles that start forming the dust are square. And do you remember what was square in the Bible? Way back at Genesis, the beginning, the Holy of Holies in the temple was based on the geometry of the square. Yeah. And all the way at the end of the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation is square.
That's right.
And so for whatever reason, a large majority of these particles are square. And then he is making some in different shapes and bigger ones and stuff like that too. But I use it in evangelism, as most of the Christians that this anointing is traveling with. And God seems to put the most on children, and people that need it the most, non-believers, atheists, agnostics, non-believing Jews, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I had two Jehovah's Witnesses walk up to the studio here a few months ago, and I looked out the window and told my wife, Jehovah's Witnesses. And she goes, how do you know? And I go, I don't know, but I know. So I walked out, I met them halfway down our steps, and I said, hold on, ladies, y'all are Jehovah's Witnesses, aren't you? And they go, yes, we are. And I said, well, let me save y'all a lot of time and trouble. Jesus really is God. And I know you don't believe that, but he is. And I'm going to ask him to prove it to you right now. And they said, how are you going to do that? And I said, Lord, would you put your glory on him in Jesus' name? And I said, now, ladies, look at your hands. And they turned their hands over, and they were covered with hundreds of particles of
God.
You know?
What was their reaction,
well,
Max?
They looked back up like this with eyes about this big, and they said, there's some more coming on your coat right there. They said, what is this? And I said, that's the glory of God. Jehovah just wants you to know that Jesus really is God. And the younger girl started hyperventilating, and she started going, this can't be God. This has got to be perspiration. And I said, no, ma'am, this is not perspiration. We've already had this tested at Texas A&M University. It's an unknown substance, and it's the glory of God. And God wants you to know that Jesus is the Savior. And I said, Lord, put it on her dresses. Put it on their dresses. And I mean, just down the two dresses. And suddenly, both these Jehovah's Witnesses are standing there with their gold all over their hands and all over these two full-length dresses.
Amazing.
And they're standing there. And so then I presented the gospel to them for about 15 minutes, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I said, now, ladies, would y'all like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they went, can we think about this? And I said, yes, Jesus does it for us. You have to choose to be his child and come into the kingdom. I said, but he worked a miracle for you ladies today. You see it. It's all over you right now. He did this for you because he wants you to be in the kingdom, and he loves you. And they walked away from my house and never got to give their spiel. You know, they just walked away covered in gold. And so that kind of thing is happening over and over and over.
And, you know, I know the focus is not on the phenomena. It's not on the sign or the wonder, but God is using it as a sign to make people wonder in
God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say for those that used to be like Max, you know, very, what would be the word?
Cautious.
Cautious.
Skeptical.
A little skeptical.
But you're an honest skeptic.
Sure, you have to test stuff. I mean, it's almost like old Thomas. Okay, I'll believe it, but let me stick my hand in the hole there.
Right.
You know, God doesn't mind, and he wants, I think, honest confirmation of what he's doing. Because just to go out and claim that something is a miracle when you don't even know if it is or not. I mean, you know, we're getting this stuff on us all the time, and it's on the dashboard, and it's somewhere we sit at restaurants and in church. But not everything that's sparkling is his stuff. Every once in a while, it's glitter, or it's falling off of something else. And so I try to cautiously, you know, we collect it when we see it start forming. But again, you have to test it, because Jesus says, you know, test this stuff and be sure. And so,
you know, just today, as we were getting ready for the program, our dear friend Joyce Meyer was talking about the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is the manifest presence of God. I don't know how to explain this about the gold dust. I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought it was one of the most strange things I had ever heard. But you know what? It's not necessary for me to understand everything about what God does. He said, His ways are past finding out. He said, I will work, and who shall let it? God can do anything He wants to do, any way He wants to. I believe these are a sign, not just to us, but to the unbeliever. And you talked about Bob Shadows. He's had so many people saved as a result of the glory
of
God.
150,000, I think, since this started.
Yeah, being manifest in this unusual way.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this. He said, right there where you are, and Ruth Heflin was here, and they said, we see the glory.
This is after we went off the air.
Yeah, they said, we see the, well, yeah, they saw the glory falling.
On my Bible.
Right where that Bible is sitting now. Right. They had not been over there. So it wasn't like they had some and they went over there and poured it on it.
It always sits right here. This is my Bible.
Right.
I'd be like John Osteen.
Yeah.
This is my Bible. And so, anyway, I have to tell you, I was just like, Max, I was an honest skeptic. Because when you're on television, you don't want people to think you're, you know, because we've had some kooks in the past. So anyway, but I reached over and grabbed my Bible and looked, and I'm telling you, just little gold particles right here. And that made a believer out of me. I was like Thomas. I saw it for myself, and
right.
I knew there had been no shenanigans going on at all. So. But at the same time, we're not to go to a service and seek to get gold on us.
No, it's seeking Jesus. I mean, the night that I prayed and it started happening, I wasn't saying, God, send gold dust. I was saying, God, would you help our family? We got some problems going on here. We need your help. And His help showed up, and the side benefit was the glory, was this golden dust.
Now, Max, you talked about your wife had a deadly illness.
Yeah, life-threatening illness.
What has happened?
Well, she's doing much better. The economy, you know, changed, and God, as I obeyed Him, lifted up the finances.
Is that her and your daughter?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
She's beautiful.
Yeah,
they're both beautiful.
They're both beautiful.
Yes.
I'm blessed with two beautiful girls, as a matter of fact. Well, God takes care of artists, you know.
He
takes care of artists. But yeah, what's funny with my daughter, she's a little older than that picture now, but teenager, high school, But it's on her all the time, and she doesn't want to sparkle. She just wants to fit in, you know, and look normal.
Wow.
But I mean, you can turn over her hands any time, and they're just covered in gold. And we've had Bible studies with the kids from different churches came, and God covered all the kids in the Bible study. But
beautiful.
I mean, it's a sign and wonder today that's really an in-your-face kind of a miracle, because you know, skeptics can say, no, that person really didn't get healed, or that alcoholic was really going to get better, or they can always deny. But the deal with this particular miracle right here, it's in your face. It doesn't go away.
Yes.
It can be tested. It can test it. It can be touched. And so a person comes to a point of decision. They have to decide, okay, is this God or is this not God? Is this a miracle if it's not? And if it is, you know, like A&M, they can't explain how I'm getting it. Well, that means there's a God.
Johnny?
You know, another thing I think we have to look at, some people may say, well, maybe that's the enemy doing that. But you look at the fruit. That's what you look at.
Yes.
The fruit that remains. How many? I mean, hundreds and thousands of people.
Yeah, but this
is
happening all over the body of Christ. And everybody's getting it tested, and they're all getting the same results. I mean, it's not just Texas A&M. There's scientific labs all over the world now that are confirming this unknown metal around an oil-based molecular substance they call plastic.
Right. You know, Bob Shadows shared with me the story about being on an airplane. He said when the glory dust, what he calls it, begins to fall, he said, I don't understand it, but I just know that someone is about to be saved. And I'm to look around and get ready.
See what God's
going to do. Let me qualify this real quickly. Bob Shadows, for many years, was a police lieutenant in Atlanta, Georgia. Helped to guard presidents and things like that. Then, for many years, pastored one of the largest Southern Baptist churches.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, several years led the state of Georgia in water baptism. So this is a seasoned, veteran, no-nonsense man.
And he said he was on the airplane, and there was a couple that he was seated next to. You've probably heard him share this story. And they were fighting, cursing among, you know, themselves, husband and wife. They're getting a divorce. And he said the glory just began to fall. And he said, it was just terrible. He said it was terrible. So he looked over there, and he said the man looked at him, and he said, "What is that on you? What is that?"
And all over your face.
All over your face. And Bob Shettle said, "Well, it's the same thing that's on you." And he said, "I don't have anything on me." And
right.
He said, "Yes, you do." And the man jumped up abruptly, ran while they're in the plane, ran to the back of the plane, looked in the mirror, came back and said, "What did you put on
right.
me?" He said, "I didn't put anything on you." He said, "That's how much that Jesus loves you."
Right.
And ended up, long story short, leading the man and the woman to the Lord. There's Pastor Shadow there.
Yeah.
And
ended
up saving the marriage. They
right.
did not get a divorce. And before it was over with, one of the flight attendants had read Pastor Shadow's book and recognized him. And after everyone got off the plane, got him to pray with the captain of the plane, the pilot, and lead him to the Lord.
Right.
So
let's put up his address, and can we show some more of the beautiful sculptures
now,
that Max has done?
Let's show the horse again, because there's one thing that the Lord spoke to you while you were doing this sculpture. I heard you say this on television. The Lord spoke to you and said he was pleased with your work. Tell us about that.
Yeah, just the night when I was finishing the small one, finishing it up, as I was finishing it, suddenly I looked down and the hoof of the horse had turned gold. It was that one right there. And the whole hoof just turned gold in my hands. I looked down my whole body, my desk, everything was covered in gold. And I started to weep. And then that still moment, God said, "Max, I'm pleased with you." And
wow.
It was kind of an emotional deal.
Yes.
But it literally was thousands of these tiny particles. Is it all right if I pray on the air right now that
yes.
people out there and
yes, go ahead.
It's happening over the telephone. And Lord, everybody out here that's hearing this may sound crazy, but would you let them know
Hallelujah.
That you are real and that you
Thank
are a real
you.
God, Lord. And I just pray for the miracle that this glory would rise up on
Hallelujah.
These people right now, and that they would
Lord,
see your glory in their
Thank
hands
you,
and on their
Thank
fingertips
you,
and on their clothing. And Lord, I would pray that if they're not saved, they would receive you right now as Lord and Savior. If they need a miracle in their life of healing, I pray for that right now in Jesus'
glory
name, that they
God.
Would receive Thank healing
you.
And that God would get the glory.
Hallelujah.
And I pray, Lord, if there's a marriage that's messed up right now, Lord, that you'll work a miracle with both partners right now and change the heart. So whatever they need, I pray in Jesus' name it'd be done.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray that they'd even get to see the glory right now wherever
Hallelujah.
They are, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now just look into your hands on the fingertips and the palms and get under some good light like an incandescent light or out in natural sunlight. Just roll your hands, you see it, and then little tiny dust particles will start forming. I see a few of them on my hand. But this is from the Lord. It's not me. It's not a trick. It's the Lord, and it's a last day sign and wonder. Check Isaiah 60, the first five verses. Talks about the glory rising up and people seeing it. And it's to bring people to Jesus. That's what it's about.
Let's put up that address one more time for Max Griner if you'd like to contact him or
see
about any of his products.
Yeah.
That's the number on the screen. And hey, if you experience this, call and let us know so we can praise the Lord and glorify him, because he is so very, very
yes.
worthy.
So many people calling. Here is Teresa from Denver, Colorado, called and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And also there's about seven or eight more that called just a few moments ago
Wonderful.
And accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So praise
thank
God
you,
for that. Amen.
Partners, thank you for standing with Joni and me. Continue to pray for us as we build more stations to reach more people. Tell them the good news of the gospel. We love you. Jesus loves you. We'll see you again right here on Celebration.
After we finished the live television show, Joni and Marcus and I looked at the gall that had formed on each of us there on the set, and then the producer walked up, and she had a stack of phone messages in her hand, and she said that people were getting saved all over the United States, and she has said she read the one on the top, and a lady had just prayed to receive Christ in Arizona and walked outside in the sunshine and found that God had covered her hands with gold dust. But apparently all over the United States, God was touching people in the major cities where the Daystar Network reached on that day. And they sent me a statistical report from the live TV show. And apparently within the hour after the show, they had received 592 calls. The report says that there were 85 salvations, people receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. There were numerous healings reported, even though we can't verify that without, I guess, doctor's reports. But apparently quite a few people reported physical healing. Also, four people apparently were going to commit suicide and change their mind after seeing the show and hearing the testimony. And it was apparently touching people all over the United States, and they had all kind of prayers were answered according to the report. We did start getting emails back in Kerrville, and letters and calls started coming in, even though I was still in Dallas. And just to give you a sample of the kind of correspondence that immediately started coming in, I'll read just three of these. One is from Steve Reed of Weatherford, Texas, and he comments in an email. He says, "Max, I want to let you know that I watched you on Celebration with Joni and Marcus Lamb on 7/25/2000. Your artwork was awesome. I was amazed. At the end of the show, you prayed for the viewers. After praying, I found gold dust on my hands and my fingertips. My hands felt a light oil on them, like I had rubbed my hands in light oil. I called my father and my pastor after the show and told them what had happened to me. On the way to work, I was praying and worshiping in the Lord. When I got to work, I looked at my hands and found more gold dust on them. I've saved one of the flakes and showed one of my co-workers. We were just in awe. God is so good. I just wanted to let you know, may God bless you and your family." And then the next letter email that came in was from a Desiree Adante, I believe is how you say it, Adante, from Alpharetta, Georgia. And she sent us an email that said, "I saw you and your divine work on the Daystar television program here in Alpharetta, Georgia, by chance. I've now seen it three times at strange times of the day, covering over a week now. And I always say the prayer that you prayed. I, too, hope to use this prayer over someone God may put in my path. I wanted you to know that I am a Christian and did ask the Lord to show his glory as you prayed. I told him I was a believer, and not questioning him, I just wanted his touch. My eyes were closed, and I prayed. I could feel, as my eyes were closed, tiny bits of particles falling on my hands like sprinkles of rain. When I opened my eyes, I couldn't believe it. Very tiny particles of shimmering gold dust. I ran upstairs to a very good light on my desk and looked under it. I could see the sparkles clear, and they could be moved, so it was not my imagination. I was so excited. I called a couple of friends and told them about your program and what had happened to me and prayed the prayer you said over them. Apparently, the same manifestation did not work for the one person who accepted the prayer. The other friend just listened to me. Anyway, I know it worked for me. I've washed my hands a million times by now, and I can still see little tiny flecks of gold on my fingertips and palms. At first, I saw the same on my clothing and then on my keyboard. Not a whole lot as I really had to look, but they were there. I've asked in prayer to have more because it is so special to me. I don't have what you gave testimony to, but I am thankful for God showing me favor with just one particle of gold dust. I am a new widow and have had a lot come down on my life and have not had many prayers answered or materialized yet. However, just one little gold dust flickering in the light just confirms God is here with me and he won't leave me. I just have to wait on him. God bless you and your family exceedingly as you do his work and obey his voice. Just wanted to say thank you personally and give testimony to my own story." And that's Desiree Adante of Alpharetta, Georgia. And then another letter that came in from Maddie Stewart, Humble, Texas. This was mailed in. It says, "Dear Brother Griner, my name is Evangelist Maddie Stewart. I watched you on Marcus and Joni Lamb show. I was truly blessed by the artwork. What a beautiful way to show the world what the Bible says through your work. I thank God for the anointing on your hands. Your hands are gifted. That's why you can see the gold dust, because God is pleased with the works of your hands. As I continue to listen to you speak about the gold dust, I put my hands on the TV screen and I felt the warmth, the presence of God on my hands. After you finished praying, you said to look under a bright light and I would see spots of gold dust on my fingertips. Sure enough, I saw the gold dust on my fingertips. I could hardly get any sleep that night. I was so overwhelmed by what God had done. I'm a student at the School of Prophets here in Houston. I'll be graduating December the 16th, 2000, 3 p.m. Please keep me in your prayers that God will use me just as he is using you. Brother Griner, you have a very strong anointing on your life when you speak to God's people. When you said, God, show your people you perform miracles, God did just that. Amen. I've never seen the gold dust before, but I wait patiently for God to show me many more miracles as being a servant of the Lord. Please write me to let me know you received this letter. May God continue to bless your gifted hands and your family, your sister in Christ, believing in miracles. Amen. And then there's a P.S. at the bottom, and it says, as I began to fold this letter, I lifted my hands, and guess what? I saw it again, gold dust. Amen. To God be the glory. Be blessed. And that's Evangelist Maddie Stewart of Humble, Texas. But apparently God touched people all over the United States on that day. Joni and Marcus celebration there at Daystar. Joni wanted me to do two more shows with her and her own show, taking a break with Joni later that afternoon. We all took a little break and had lunch, and I walked outside of the sculpture, and as I walked out there, I noticed that there was a lady with three little children walking back from the sculpture, and they did not hear the show or know anything about it. But I just blessed them in Jesus' name. The kids were probably in first, second grade, maybe younger, and asked them to look at their hands, and all of the children and the lady were covered in gold after they had been looking at my sculpture, The Coming King, and the other bronzes that were on the trailer. And then about that time, a car drove up, and a mother hopped out with another young man that looked like he was maybe 12, and they had seen the celebration show and heard that the artwork was on the trailer out in the parking lot, and so they drove all across town, across Dallas, to see the sculptures before they left. And I got to meet them and ask them if they'd seen the glory dust yet, and they said no, and I just asked God to bless them, and God covered both the mother and the son with the gold dust on their hands. And I said, I bet if we pray, God will let you watch the taping of the next two shows. And I went and asked the producer if they could watch taping of the next two shows, and God let them do that. We had, at one point, Joni introduced her brother to me, and we prayed for him, and God really covered him with gold dust. The gold dust was also getting on the cameraman that had taped the show, and we were getting to see it. Really just about on everybody. God was really pouring it out. But we finally sat down to tape the Taking a Break with Joni television show. And the next segment is from that first show.
Hello, everybody. My name is Joni Lamb, and I want to welcome you today to Taking a Break. So glad that you have tuned in. And we have a special guest today. You know, a lot of you hear me talk about how God is restoring the arts to the church, and I believe that artists, and we think about Thomas Kincaid and also Max Griner, who's here today with us, such wonderful gifts and talents, and their work glorifies God, and that's what they feel called to do. And I want you to welcome Max Griner to Taking a Break. Hello there. How are you doing?
Good to be here.
So good to have you here, and you know, I have to say, I have just admired your work, and what a blessing, and I know you give God all the glory for that.
Yes, ma'am. Try to.
Tell us a little bit about your Christian artwork and how you got involved in doing that, and did you ever do secular artwork?
Yes.
again, God made me an artist from the beginning when I was a little baby. And so I was an artist, the artistic gifts he put in me. But I started off doing typical work like children do, and then I did become a professional artist and doing mainly people, wildlife, nature, painting, sculpture, jewelry, and those kind of things. And actually, God had blessed us, and we'd had made a good living, and art was in all 50 states and doing quite well. And then in the mid-80s, the economy crashed. 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt. Most of them were millionaires, a few billionaires. My wife got a life-threatening illness, and then our marriage started having stress and problems, and everything was coming down. And it was at that moment in time when God spoke to me in my mind, and that still small voice, as I drove into my driveway and said, "I want you to do a sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet." And I recognized it as the Lord, but I tried to put him on hold, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do that, but I got all these things we got to do and all these problems you got to fix." And but it was that transition where I had to go through 2 years more of humbling and before I'd finally obey God. And so I finally let go of all of my secular work and began the sculpture of Christ washing Peter's feet in obedience, not knowing that anybody would buy one. I mean, I knew a lot of Christians who were artists. I didn't know any Christians who were doing Christian art. And but I began this back in 1989, and God has just blessed it. And what has happened is he's got me so busy doing the work that lifts him up, I haven't had the time to go back and do people and wildlife and nature things. And it's really, he's taken this art business and really turned it into an evangelistic outreach. And I didn't plan that either, but you cannot pull sculptures of Jesus around on an open trailer around the country and not have people walk up and want to know about Jesus. And
that's
so
right.
We started witnessing, people started coming to Christ, and so now all my work pretty well is Christian and just lifts
that's
up
that's incredible.
Lord.
Let's show that artwork of Jesus washing the feet of Peter. What a beautiful piece here, and there you see just so much detail, gorgeous. And now there is a life-size version that's out out in our in front of Daystar, in fact, right now, and that is so beautiful. Let's cut to this one here, and we'll look at the horse in just a minute. But now, there's something interesting that you said. You really felt impressed that the Lord said, "I want you to do this." So many times the Lord will ask us to do something, and we always, in our finite way of thinking, say, "Well, okay, I'll do that, but I need to do this, this, that, and the other," and you just, you know, and we try to get everything in order before we do, and really, the Lord was wanting you to stop what you were doing and to do this immediately.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the importance of
obeying.
Of responding and obeying when the Lord says
to. If you obey, you get blessed.
Yeah.
Okay, the quicker you obey, the quicker you get blessed. And in this example right here with the divine servant, I mean, we were down to almost no money. We were losing our land, our home. You know, I was losing Sherry, losing marriage. Everything was coming down. But I finally obeyed God when I did that, and I sent out pictures of just the wax of the small version of the divine servant. We were completely out of money. I only had enough to go to the local photo place and get some pictures made. I sent those out to the people that weren't bankrupt on my mailing list. And within like 48 hours, God sold, I think, 25 of those bronzes, which amounted to over $25,000 that was sold in 2 days, three days. I mean, he'd been trying to throw us. he'd been trying to throw us a life preserver for 2 years, and I was too busy telling God, no, that's not what we need, God. We need this.
This is not the way you need to do it.
That's right.
I have a way that you're going to do this. Tell me about as you were sculpting this, because I know that it's not within your own human understanding. As you begin in the Holy Spirit, you know, you conceive the idea by way of the Holy Spirit, and then your hands begin to work and sculpt. Do you sense the anointing of God on you as you do these sculptures?
Yes, that's the advantage of doing God's work rather than just doing secular work, is an artist can invite the Holy Spirit to be involved, and as much as the artist will allow the Holy Spirit to be involved, he will get involved. And I'm not, you know, unique in that. God has commissioned artists since Bezalel back in the Old Testament to do that. And yes, there are times when I sense the anointing quite strong, and you know, usually it's that feeling, it's that you feel on the inside that only you know. But even most recently, as I've been working on this new sculpture of Christ on the white horse returning in glory that I call the Coming King, literally golden dust has been forming in my hands and going into the wax or the clay as I work, and you can see it, and it goes into the material. And so not only do you feel his presence, and you can hear that still small voice, but he's actually allowing me and others that happen to be standing around to see this golden glory dust, and it forms in our hands and on our clothes. And then as I work, it just goes out of the pores of my skin and into the clay. And then it's even been forming on the people at the foundry and people that walk up to see me work on the sculpture and people standing around. As I talk about Jesus, this golden glory starts forming. So that's a pretty obvious
sign
of the presence.
This is a sign and a wonder that you believe that is manifesting.
Last day sign and wonder.
Let me say that Max is what, fourth generation?
Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist. Right. And an honest skeptic, and a little, you know, had some questions about this phenomena. And your wife actually experienced this before you did.
Right. Uh-huh.
And she came and was telling you about it. And at first you were like, okay.
It actually was the on the phone when our Methodist friend Jim Beard called and said his wife had experienced it. And then he told me over the phone, and then the next morning I walked down to my studio, and it was all over the walls and the floors and the doors of this old prayer closet where I pray. And then it got on my wife, the glory, and then my daughter, and then it started appearing on me, and then it started appearing on people that we just talked to about Jesus. And even as they'd walk up to us, it'd start farming on them. And it would be people sitting next to us in a restaurant or on an airplane, or, you know, just as we talk about Jesus, and it just starts forming on their clothes and their skin, and it gives me a great opportunity to witness to them about Jesus. And if they already know the Lord, then it stretches their faith. If they don't know the Lord, then I present the gospel to them. God covers them in gold, and I lead them to Christ. And he puts the most, it seems, on the people that need it the most. That's just an observation I've got. But the children and people out of cults and atheists
and
the unsaved, the non-believing Jews, I mean, he's covered them with thousands.
And this is something that has been happening with you and your wife since
March of 99.
And
Every day.
Max, you're an intelligent man, and I know that there are people that are watching right now and they're saying, I don't believe this. Sounds strange to me. But let's go a little further into this, because you were an architect. I mean, you are an intelligent man. And, you know, you talk so freely about this, and yet the reason why is because it's happened over and over and over again.
Right.
And you even took some of this, now we call it, we don't know what
glory
you call
dust,
it.
Glory dust, gold dust,
because it's that color. That doesn't mean that it's the pure gold. But you actually took this substance and went to Texas A&M.
Right.
And had it tested, none of these people, these chemists, they didn't
right.
know who you were or what it was.
Right.
Tell us what happened.
Right. As I tell you about what Texas A&M said, let me tell you the reason why I'm so bold about sharing this miracle.
Okay.
It's because the Bible, Jesus says, don't deny me before men, and I won't deny you before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that real serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already told him, anything he wants to do with me, he can do. And any miracle he wants to work, he can work it. And I will witness mm-hmm. it, no matter how wild and crazy it is. Now, that takes us to step two in Texas A&M. But he also says, test everything.
Yes.
You know, and so as part of that testing, because we're not supposed to be stupid about this, we're supposed to not be deceived.
Right.
And the test that God has, you know, is not go look it up in the Bible. Jesus said, okay, to test everything, you guys, go look it up in the Bible. I mean, that's technically an unscriptural test. What Jesus said was test the fruit and test the root, because he knew he would be doing lots of new things
right.
that aren't necessarily listed in the Bible.
Right.
And even the Bible said he did so many things we couldn't list it all. So
and he said greater works.
Sure.
Than those
and so that Jesus' test for a person or a miracle is the fruit,
mm-hmm.
you know, love, peace, joy in Galatians. I mean, mm-hmm. those things, and it points to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good fruit and the person abides in Christ, he's the vine, we're the branches.
Right.
So if you got somebody who is attached to Christ, believing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and this fruit is coming, that's the way he gave us to validate this stuff. And it is in the scripture, Isaiah 60 and first five verses. So there's lots of references, but that's really what it is. And the Texas A&M thing, I just try to verify everything I do. I document everything I do. I've got, like, I'm on the fifth prayer journal that I keep records of all the miracles God works in our life. I take photographs. I get letters from doctors, people healed, and all that stuff.
And also, once again, you haven't always been this open as you are today? I mean, to saying, okay, Lord, whatever, however
right.
you want to
well,
do it.
Right.
I mean, that was a process. Let me tell you, it is a process to get to that place.
That's right. No, that's right. Now, I've always been a little wild, a little strange, not wild, I mean, you know, but I mean, I've kind of been out of step with everybody else.
Right.
But I'm an artist. That's we're all artists
right,
are, so
right.
that part's true. But you know, to finish your question about Texas A&M, we did send samples that were off our wall. I literally went and put a piece of scotch tape up on the wall and peeled off the gold and sent that in along with a sample that appeared on my wife. So there's one sample that came on an inanimate object, mm-hmm. the door, and then on my wife that literally formed on the top of her neck and out of her skin, and one big piece that formed. And so we sent those two in. The scientist did not know, you know, where I got it.
Let's show the pictures of that. We have the actual...
Right.
Pictures here. Let's
These
look.
Are from electron microscope, Texas A&M.
Okay. Do we have those in the, I hope that we can show. Do we not
no,
have those?
Okay. Hold them up.
Well, let me hold them up here. This is the piece that this, the, what, which
yeah,
one was that?
Just, if you want to get a shot, I don't know if you, how you want to do that, but this is the majority of the little particles of gold that we're getting are the size of dust. Very, very fine glitter, almost like the glitter makeup. And what the electron microscopes and the other tests said was that they were square, and the Holy of Holies is square in the Bible, and the New Jerusalem in the Book of Revelations is square. So for whatever reason, God's decided to make them square. And we sent these. This is the example that came off of our door. And that's the way majority of them look. Most of them are gold. A few of them, I don't know if you can see the squareness
yeah,
over there.
You can
you
see
go.
The square there. Now, that's,
yeah.
that's under their microscope.
Yeah, and what they
like.
Say it is, they said it's a thin coat of metal, which they don't know what the metal is, over plastic. And they call it, I asked him, why do you call it plastic? And he said, well, the molecular structure is organic and oil-based. So to the Christian,
wow.
that's oil of the Holy Spirit.
Oil-based. But they really didn't, they called it that because they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, they weren't believers, and they just thought I got into some kind of glitter from some source, which they mm-hmm. couldn't analyze what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other picture shows the bigger piece that was on my wife, and it was a pretty big piece, like a snowflake. And this is just a part of it that they show. You know, in the picture of an electron microscope. But again, it had the same basic interpretation. And these results are being confirmed all around the world as Christians are having this phenomena happen in their lives. People are running it into labs and testing it. And so what it is, it's not gold as we know gold. It's actually, they don't know what it is. And but we know it's from God.
Right.
And we're using it in evangelism. And then this was just the analysis that the Texas A&M wrote. And I just put down a description about how we got it. And but it's real, and it's coming every day like the manna.
I have learned that, you know, I don't always understand everything that God is doing. And if you read about some of the old revivals of days gone by, John Wesley and so many other great revivalists and things that happened in the services, it weren't always easy to understand, but God used them. And so I'm open to however the Lord wants to move is fine with me. As long as Jesus is glorified
Amen.
And lifted up and there's fruit that remains. And so let's go to the sculpture of the horse. This is my favorite,
right.
the coming king. Jesus on the white horse and with the sword in his hand. And maybe we can show that. We've got some footage of that. And tell us about this, Max. Now, you were actually working on this when this phenomenon, this sign, this wonder manifested
right.
on the front hoof of the horse, and the Lord spoke to you and said, Max, I'm pleased with your work.
Right, yeah, I'm pleased with you, I think is what
pleased
I felt
with
like.
You.
Yeah,
pleased with you, okay.
That's what he said. But yes, I'd already been given the vision to do that sculpture, and then I started obeying, and... But then as I was finishing that small one, which you just saw the picture of,
mm-hmm.
and it was at the final stages, and I was just touching it up as I held the horse's hand, this is back on October the 10th, I believe, of last year, it literally turned gold in my hands, the whole foot of the horse in wax.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stunned, and I had jeweler's goggles, magnifiers, and I pulled those down and looked and realized that the whole horse and my hands and my clothing and my desk and everything was covered with thousands of particles of these little golden dust particles. And then it was at that moment that, you know, voice is not your own, that still small voice that comes into the minds of Christians, you know, said, Max, I'm pleased with you. And I wept.
Praise
and
God.
I just.
Thank you, Lord. That is wonderful.
Amazing.
I love that. Let's show the outside footage. Can we show that? And also, I'll tell you, look there at that. Now, that's a, how big is that?
Okay, that's a 9-foot sculpture. That's the one half life size. and it's 9 feet tall, and it's outside on our trailer. And I travel around the country with my bronzes on this open trailer, and I have them all open, and where we stop, at Burger King or at the gas station, people come up and we witness about Christ and lead people to Christ all the time. So it's like a evangelistic magnet.
The divine servant, which is Jesus washing the feet of Peter. Now, you've got this life-size. Is it Dallas Theological Seminary?
Yes, there's one there, and also Dallas Baptist University has the divine servant.
Okay, let's show that. And I know, is the life-size version of that outside?
Yes.
That's
sure,
outside.
That's
look, there you see. Just
Christ washing Peter's feet from John 13. Mm-hmm. And that message is about, you know, servanthood and humility and serving others, while Christ on the white horse, which is what he's got me doing now, is to let the world know he is coming back. It's for real. And this sign and wonder of the gold dust, I think, is part of that. And I think he's speeding up the process of evangelism. I think one reason he's making this gold dust that any non-believer can see, I mean, that's the incredible thing about this,
Yes. Is
he's bringing the decision process and compressing it. And Yes. As we present Christ to people as it's a divine appointment, I just say, God, would you let them see your glory? And he puts the gold dust all over their hands or their clothes. And then they're ready to receive Christ.
Mm.
I mean, instead of it taking 3 days and they go think about it, and boy, I mean, when you get to see yourself instantly be covered in gold, that's a pretty good convincing sign. And so God's doing this with Christians all over the world that are using it as an evangelistic tool.
Right. And of course, you're always going to have those out there who aren't the real deal.
Sure, so counterfeits.
You're always going to have counterfeits.
Sure.
But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He will let you know what is of the Lord and what's not. And, you know, I sense the presence of the Lord as I talk to Max today, not only earlier on celebration, but here as we sit here with taking a break. And I want him to take a moment and pray for those of you that are watching, that you'll not only experience the glory of God and the presence of God and the manifest presence of God in your life, but that you will, those of you that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, will accept him today. Let's show this sculpture of the world.
It's the Great Commission.
The Great Commission. Love that. And are we?
Yeah,
can we
turn
it? We can turn that a little bit. Maybe we'll get a close-up of that. And it says, of course, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And then that's one of my favorite scriptures. Matthew 28:19-20, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Tell us about how the Lord gave you the inspiration for this.
Oh, this was a funny one. Actually, it relates to here in Dallas. I had the Vice President of Premier Designs call up and say that he wanted to give a gift to the people here, that own that company here in Dallas, and he wanted me to do a globe. And I really, to be honest with you, wasn't just real instant just doing a globe. I was wanting to do stuff that glorified Jesus. And he said, well, I want you to do it. And I said, well, you'll probably find some bronze globes around. And I said, well, I really am doing things to lift up the Lord. And that's what I feel I'm supposed to do. And he said, well, we really want to pay you to do it. And I said, look, let's pray and see what God wants. I said, Lord, if you want me to do a sculpture of a globe for these people here at Premier Designs, would you let me know in Jesus' name? Or if not, let me recommend an artist. Holy Spirit said, globe with the Word of God, with the Bible. So I told the Vice President, I said, how about the globe with the Word of Bible, with the Word of God on it? And he said, that'd be great, send me a drawing. So I said, okay, well, that may be God. I went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. 2 weeks later, I was standing there in the booth, and I started thinking about that. And I said, Lord, do you want me to do this sculpture for them, or you want me to do something else? I need a clear word, please, in Jesus' name. Immediately, a man walked up, total stranger, and walked up to me and said, you know, if you had a sculpture of a globe with the Bible, I'd buy that. Total stranger. It turns out he was the pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Springfield, Illinois, or Springfield, Missouri. And I talked to him later. He said he had absolutely no idea why he did that. He was just walking down an aisle, and God said, you'll go tell that man that. And so he confirmed it. I went and did the sculpture, did the small one.
Amazing.
And now I've done big ones. And again, God gets done what he wants, and he'll confirm.
Yes.
What he'd like to get done in this world.
Now, do we have? I think we may have some more pictures. Can we go to those? And why don't you tell us about what we're going to see? And also, as we're talking about this, I want you to know there is a prayer line number coming up on the screen, and we have wonderful prayer partners standing by ready to pray for you today. We do love you. We're concerned about you.
And more than our concern is Jesus is concerned about you. And in fact, he's so concerned that he gave his life for you. And today you can meet him and experience his love in an awesome way. Let's go to those pictures, Max, and I'm not sure what we're going to see here. But
yeah, this is Fisherman. This is the life-size 105% bronze of Christ holding the fishing net whenever he called Andrew and Peter and said, let me make you fishermen. And I just, God gave me the picture of Christ reaching down and scooping up a fishing net and holding it out as a visual aid. And so that sculpture really speaks to following Christ in both salvation, but also in evangelism and in, yes, in service, as in ministry as an evangelist or a pastor. So that one is that way. This is a close-up of the life-size coming king sculpture, the original clay. And again, it says in Revelation 19:11 and throughout the Old Testament and New Testament about Christ coming back on that white horse. And it says he's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And he's coming back. It's the day of judgment. It's the day of wrath. It's the day of vengeance. And now's the time to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, because he's the Lamb. He wants you to come. He's been sacrificed for you, but there's a day of judgment coming, and that shows the clay of the 18-foot one that I'm working on. That's, again, the bottom part of the torso is down where I can work on it, but it shows the bronze, and when it's finished, it'll be 18 feet tall, and it's a little bit larger than life, Christ mm-hmm. jumping out of the clouds on the white horse, and it'll be a great big bronze, and it's going to get the message. But he's coming back as a warrior, and, yes, and in the face that I tried to communicate is, yes, it's the day of wrath, it's the day of vengeance, and that's all real, and that's scriptural. But there's also, you know, the compassion that's in Christ. That's there too. And so right now is the time to make your decision for Christ. Don't wait till he shows up on that white horse, because yes, it'll be too late then.
That's right, and that's why we're here today, to share that message with you. Are there some more pictures? Do we have some more stills that y'all have? If we do, is that it? Okay. And so here I've got a smaller version, and I know at the Christian bookstore you can get the smaller versions.
Right, right.
And
now prices start at 50 cents. They go on up.
50 cents, way on
but
up there.
The Holy Spirit, nice thing about it, he goes yeah. with all of them,
yes,
you know, because it's his
right.
message, and we're just putting it in visual form.
Do you have any idea on what your next creation will be?
No, because I'll probably be doing paintings and other things of the coming king for a while until God says. But, you know, I don't know. He may be back on that white horse once we get all this done. And, mm. I mean, there may not be any more. I mean, mm. it's I don't know how close we are, but it's pretty bold when God starts manifesting his visible presence where believers and non-believers alike
yes.
can see it form. And so,
and you've had this happen time and time again. I want you to, if you would, Max, take a moment and pray for those that are watching, and just ever how you feel led by the
okay.
Holy Spirit, minister to those that are watching
okay.
today.
Lord God, I just pray for everybody that's out there watching this TV set. Lord, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray in Jesus Christ's name that you'll touch their heart right now, and they'll invite you into their hearts right at this moment. They'll just say in their own words, come into my heart, Jesus. I believe in you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me. I want to go to heaven. Lord, if they just pray that right now, I pray you give them the power to pray that prayer in Jesus' name, and that they would come into the kingdom and be born again right now, Lord. And God, I pray also those out there that are sick, that need a miracle of physical touch, the doctors hadn't been able to help them, I pray in Jesus' name that they will reach out to you, Lord, and you will touch them through the power of your Holy Spirit, and you will heal their physical bodies, Lord, and also psychological problems, Lord, that are going on right now. I pray for help in that area, too. Finances in families and in marriage situations that need your help, Lord. I just pray for divine intervention, and I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you might let them see your glory visibly, that they can walk into the sunshine, even as they can do it right now. They'll see the glory rise up on them, Lord, and it'll be in their fingertips and in their palms and in their clothing and on their hands, and that they'll just give you the praise and the glory and know that you've touched them. So, Lord, if you would do that for them, I thank you for that, and we just thank you for all the great things you're going to do and the testimonies you're going to create, and I pray we all lift you up and not ourselves, and it's Jesus Christ that gets lifted up. In
yes.
your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
What a blessing today. Max Greiner, anointed sculptor, artist, and what a blessing. Pray for Max. And Max, we believe there are going to be many more great testimonies in the days ahead. And as you stay open and allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in your life, I don't know. I think that he just may do
the woman with the alabaster box. And I'm going to let him hear that song before he leaves here today. But pray for Max and experience the glory of God in your own life. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love Max or me more than he loves you. And we all have different ways that we worship him and serve him, and yet he loves us with an everlasting love, and he loves you today. He cares about you. Again, go to the phone if you'd like for us to pray with you today, and if you would like to experience Jesus, then that's what we're here for. If you need healing, if you're sick in your body, we want to pray for you, because he is our healer, our savior, our deliverer, and he wants to do that for you today. Max, will you come back and be with me again? And if you do the alabaster box now,
okay,
you let me know, right?
Well,
right.
Bet.
Okay.
You bet.
And
you
let's
bet.
Continue
so
to pray for your
for us.
Your family, and so proud of what you're doing and how you're lifting up the Lord.
It's an adventure following Jesus. That's
yes.
one of the most exciting parts
it's
of the
exciting,
day.
Exciting, especially when you're an artist. It takes
yes.
all that creativity.
Now, if you would like to frequently experience the miracles of God in your life. You can do that. God can do with you what he's done with me. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, and what that means is he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love Billy Graham or the Pope or anyone any more than he loves you. And that means what he's done with me and others, he can do with you. You know, God is looking for a willingness to be used, a sincerity, and a humility, and primarily just an availability. He's not looking for experts with great qualifications or credentials or degrees. Those are all nice, but they're not necessary to see supernatural miracles in your life and to be used in ministry in that way. You know, you need to be someone that's willing to be a witness, and that you're not worried about your own reputation or what people are going to think or say about you. And because as God moves you into the supernatural realm, there'll be many people that will ridicule you and criticize you, and most of those will be well-meaning Christians. But you have to be willing to take that and to keep following Jesus no matter what happens. The qualifications to be used in the supernatural ministry, miracle ministry, and the, you know, empowered Christian life really are pretty simple. You have to be a believer. You have to be born again. You have to have given your life to Jesus Christ, and he has to live inside of you. That's first. But you also, to move into the miracles, you have to have a willingness to serve God in any way and do whatever he asks you to do, no matter how unusual or strange that might be. You also must have a willingness to witness to others any miracles that God works in your life. And we found a real correlation between the more we witness about God and his miracles and the power of Jesus, the more miracles he works, and he continues to give us more testimonies, which just result in more testimonies. And finally, you have to yield your will to God 100%, and then simply ask that he make you the vessel he wants you to be and empower you with whatever supernatural gifts he wants to give you. And those gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those supernatural gifts that are given to the believer to empower them to walk the spirit-filled, miraculous life that a Christian can live, even today.